Okay.
In 2016, a new word was added to the Oxford Dictionary, upstander, meaning a person who speaks or acts in support of an individual or cause, particularly someone who intervenes on behalf of a person being attacked or bullied. And the topic of our devotional this evening is upstander. And I just appreciate the Creative Media Ministries prayer meeting. Thank you all for being here. And I know you didn't have to join the prayer meeting today, but you did. And the fact that you're here means that God and prayer are a priority to you. So I praise God for you. And by God's grace, we're all here today. And we're meant to study the word in a body and to see God more clearly through the passage that we'll be looking at tonight, which is Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. And when we do catch that glimpse of God more clearly, I promise I'll give you an opportunity to respond at the end. So just bow your heads with me one more time as we pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you'll be speaking tonight and not me. So please let your word be made clear to us, your message, and we claim the blessing of seeking you together in worship of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be looking for good news in here. So turn on your good news detectors. And I know many of you have been studying the Bible diligently and voraciously. And so not all the answers are going to come from me this evening. I want to invite you to participate and add your thoughts. So Matthew 9, starting in verse 9, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax gatherers and sinners?" So, students of the word, why did the Pharisees react this way? Why were they surprised?
Well, it was evidently not their custom.
Exactly. Thank you for that. It was not their custom. That was not something they did. In fact, the Pharisees excluded people. And even the name Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word parush, which means to separate. So they were all about separating and their own strict observance so that they could keep themselves pure, to keep from being defiled, and they stayed far away from and excluded Gentiles, tax gatherers, and sinners. So thank you for that. Any other thoughts on why the Pharisees reacted that way?
Didn't they despise tax collectors? Because they worked
exactly.
For the wrong government.
Thank you. Thank you for the context. They despised. Strong word, isn't it? Thank you, Lynn, for that. Because I think that was that Lynn?
Yeah.
Because the tax collectors also were despised. They were considered like an enemy of the nation. It's traitors.
They collected money from the Romans.
Yeah. Exactly. Traitorous, against the nation of Israel, working for the Romans who were oppressing them. Thank you for that input. I mean, we're getting stronger sense.
Mm-hmm. They would take an extra portion for themselves and
exactly, they would skim a little bit or maybe more than a little bit off the top because it was their, they could, according to the Romans, do that. As long as the Romans got their cut, they could take a little bit more. And so they were considered cheaters. They were considered traitors, enemies. Absolutely. And yet, who is sitting at the table in the house dining with them?
God.
Yes, God. God himself in the Son, in Jesus, even his disciples too. And so Jesus was taking a stand here against the kind of exclusion, separatist ways of the Pharisees. Can you think of a time in your life where you've experienced someone standing up for you?
Mother?
Yes. Absolutely. Our mothers have stood up for us. And it being so close to Mother's Day, too, maybe some of those memories of that precious intervention, you know, are fresh in our minds. Yes.
I had a very tall girlfriend who would beat up all the boys who tried to harass us.
Yes.
She ended
we
up playing basketball for the women's warrior team. So and she was in the Olympics. But right away we had to be about maybe first grade and we were walking to school and these boys tried to take the back of our shoes off push down the back of your shoe. I remember her turning around and just slugging them all. And so we must have been about 6 or 7, I don't know. And they never, ever bothered us again.
Amen. To have a protector. Absolutely. To have someone who will take your side in the face of being judged, in the face of being excluded, of people despising you, that must have been a real gift to the tax collectors and the sinners who were eating with Jesus. And it reminded me of my own experiences in elementary school and academy. And I am a fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. So the history goes way back in my family to my great-grandfather. And so I did go to Adventist elementary and academy. I went there for the same 12 years. Or same school for 12 years, and I never knew what it was like to be the new kid or the different kid, but there were some students who were well acquainted with that distinction, and sadly, there was one classmate that we said had germs, and that was our scientific name for cooties, and if anyone accidentally touched her, they had to wipe it off on someone else or they would be infected. And I know, in Adventist school, right? So only now, decades later, as I was reading this passage and I was thinking about excluding people and the hurt that exclusion causes, decades later, only now did I realize how much that must have hurt her and grieved her. And it wasn't only her. There was a girl in high school that had glasses and pigtails. And that just wasn't cool, right?
Are you talking about me?
Oh, no.
I used to have glasses when I was little, wearing all these patches on my eyes.
Oh. And... And maybe I am talking about you, Anne. I don't know.
Don't worry.
But I know. We all had something about us, right? At our school, there was also a boy who wore a patka, and that's it's like a turban, but it's more it's like for active wear and younger boys. He was Sikh, and he wore a patka tied around his head, covering his hair. And I heard classmates calling him names. And you know, I thought about another girl who had just moved from Korea, and she ate lunch from a bento box instead of a brown paper bag like everybody else. And how sad that we didn't eat with them. We didn't invite them to our table. We excluded them. And we were kids. We were immature. We were self-centered. We were unkind. And I wasn't a bully, but I was a bystander. And that can be just as harmful. Bystanders cause a lot of harm by doing nothing and, in essence, approving of what was going on. Kind of like Saul at the stoning of Stephen. And I thought so deeply about this and was really grieved and, you know, begged forgiveness from the Father. We did not know what we were doing back then. And now as I look back on it, the harm that that has caused. But the good news is that Jesus was not a bystander.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that Jesus was not afraid of cooties or defilement. This passage is about Jesus being an upstander against exclusion and wrongdoing. And so what did Jesus do in verse 10?
He eats with them.
Yes. And what was Jesus affirming?
Yes, he is affirming them. And he, his action tells, well,
goodness.
Yes, his action itself has a power to lead them to, you know, to think differently about themselves, who they are, and maybe even, you know, receive freedom from what they are doing.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And it reminds me of Lynn's tall basketball friend who stood up for her. That Jesus would stand up for people who are despised. And what does that tell you about the character of God? What news is there? What good news is there? And what is Jesus affirming by eating with them?
That they are valuable.
He loves everyone.
Yes.
He loves us in our sinful, wretched conditions.
Praise him. Praise him. And Jesus and his righteousness was an upstander for them. And if anyone can understand, it's Jesus. And Jesus knew what it was like to be excluded. Even before he was born, there was no room in the inn for him. And Jesus knew what it was like to be hurt. And humanity, people can be so mean, right? We don't even know what we're doing, and we can be so mean. But people who intentionally want to be cruel, Jesus endured all their cruelty. People betrayed him. They lied about him. They beat him up. They scourged him. They stripped him. They spat on him. They pressed thorns onto his head. They made him carry his own cross. And they crucified him. And even as he was hanging there suffering and dying, they mocked him. They made fun of him. And Jesus knew what it would be avoided. He was the one that no one wanted to touch because he became sin. Mm-hmm. He became sin for us to take the plague away from us. And in fact, he was avoided because of that. The Father turned away from him. The Father and the Son separated for the first time in the history of the universe because of our sin upon him.
Mm.
And Jesus knew what it was like to be condemned and judged. He let our sin, our judgment, our condemnation, our second death fell on him. And it killed him because he didn't want it to kill us.
Okay.
He didn't want it to kill you. And so he did all this because he loves you and he wants you and he sees you as valuable. And he would miss you for all eternity if you didn't want him back. You're that important to him. And that was the plan all along from the beginning of the world, that he would be our upstander and our savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that is good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to take a cue from Bill and his style right now and ask, would anyone like to give God praise for what he has done in Jesus?
Agree. Praise God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Would anyone like to take hold of what God is offering in Jesus' death?
Yes. Yes.
Well, before I would take hold of what he offered, and so many benefits there, but the fact that he dealt with the publicans, with tax collectors who were traitors, he fulfilled what actually Paul was describing about God, the goodness of God leads sinners to repentance.
Yes.
He did not bash, he did not criticize them. He showed his goodness and acceptance, and that led them to repentance.
Mm.
And the way that he dealt with us, it's the same thing. I mean, he, through his goodness, he had drawn us to himself. And through his death,
mm-hmm.
he justified us in his sight while we were ungodly and sinners and enemies. And this is a very attractive God, and I just want to praise him for who he is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is a very attractive God, a kind, gentle, heroic, self-sacrificing God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else want to pause and give God praise for what he has done in Jesus, through Jesus' death, what he's offering us?
I praise him I just praise him because he's given us a complete new beginning, just as if I'd never sinned, just as what he wanted Adam to have in the garden, and he's willing to give that to me as a sinner saved by grace is so unbelievable. And then the last verse of this text is, go learn what it means that I desire compassion and not sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if we were raised to be compassionate children, we would never go to a Christian school. And so therefore, this comes down through children learn these things from their parents, from their relatives, from their classmates. They learn to be bullies and unkind. We could never learn that if our environment was that of compassion. And so we have to realize that just because our kids are in Christian schools, they can come out the world's worst bulliers. So we have to learn to be compassionate in order to our children, our people who see us, to see compassion.
Yes. Yes. Were you going to share?
I was going to say something. I take all of this into my own personal experience in that you know, as a kid, we had a lot of dysfunction in the home, and then I had a lot in my married life, and now that I'm single and on my own, I find that the way that God is an upstander for me is that in relationship to him, he is always about lifting me up. And I want to be able to return that to him. So I've entered into relationship with him in such a way that he makes, and I know Bill talked about this a lot in the things that he would talk about, that you enter into a relationship where somebody is not looking to find fault with you, to attack you for, you know, your mistakes and whatever else. But
yeah,
that you are in relationship with God at that level, because that's just him, whether he's dealing with you, you know, as a sinner, like a tax collector or whatever. God is so gracious to all of us at every level. And to me, when we bring that kind of mind into a marriage or a friendship, relationships, whatever it is, then we make it comfortable for people to, I think that it opens the way for people to fall in love with God, of course. And
amen.
So that would be my perspective, sort of.
A building up.
Yeah.
yeah. Somebody that's always about lifting up the other person, yeah.
She's the best in you.
Yeah.
Brings out the best.
May I praise Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I just I really praise him for his faithfulness, and that is that my salvation is not rooted in my own actions. And I don't mean to say that my actions not important, it's important, but I praise him that his faithfulness gives me the indwelling of Jesus in my life, so those actions will be according to his will in my life.
Amen.
And Matthew says also that he is compassionate, and that he came for sinners, not for righteous. So I would be really it's actually dangerous condition to be righteous, because you will never know God. It truly is. But when you realize that you are a sinner and he came for you, he will give you his real righteousness, and that is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he has, it will be yours by faith. And in my own life, I even don't know where we would be now with Grant if God will not find us. I really don't know. Living in society where you have no identity, you are suppressed, you have no options, no choices in life, no chances. You're really like not a person who has a value and high dreams and inspiration and motivation. It's really very boring life to live without Jesus. It's just very shallow, dark, limited, not inspired life.
Yeah.
And it robs you, it actually robs you from mission in life. You don't really know why you're here. What you live wherever you live, 50, 60, 70, so your life is miserable without God. So I'm so grateful that he came with his compassion and he touched us. And you know, even to say I'm a sinner, I am grateful for that because yes. I know that God is transforming me. But I'm looking forward to be molded by Him, by His loving hands.
Amen.
I just praise Him for His compassion and righteousness and faithfulness. So that in His eyes, in the eyes of Father, I am no longer a sinner. He looks at me as His Son, Jesus, who tells me, "You are my daughter, precious daughter."
Amen.
And we all need that. We all need that kind of safe, compassionate, caring, nurturing God. Just like Grant was saying, this is a very attractive God. This is a safe, protective, heroic, compassionate God. This is a God that loves me. This is a God that is not going to start by criticizing me. And thank you, Anne, for bringing that up. Thank you all for sharing of your experience of being loved and protected by God in different ways. He is so good. And, of course, there is more good news. And we can go very quickly, but in verse 12, Jesus' response is, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick." Mm. And verse 11, "But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion." Some versions say mercy, "and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so Jesus knows our condition. Their condition was sick. Our condition is sick with sin.
Yeah.
And they needed to be healed, restored to holiness, to be sanctified. And more than ever, we need His mind in us.
Amen.
His mind. And it's only the Holy Spirit of God that can overcome our own sinful nature, our sinful tendencies. So if we want to overcome sin, it must be Jesus being an upstander in us. And John, 1 John 4:15 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him." So it's the abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Allison reminded me of, you know, how we're in close quarters with our families and, you know, our relationships are in close quarters right now because we're in this safer at home order. And I'm part of the LAPD clergy council, you know, as a representative of my church, and they're sending out all sorts of bulletins to remember that because of this COVID-19, you know, restrictions, many people are trapped at home with their abusers. And also it's Mental Health Awareness Month, that people are having trouble coping, that there's so many challenges in our minds, right? The battlefield is the mind. And more than ever, we need the mind of Christ in us. We need Christ's righteousness, Amen. Transforming our minds so that we're not conformed to this world. And it is, you know, I'm going to share a person that I know from the neighborhood. And she shared that her boyfriend has attempted suicide twice in the last 2 months since this whole thing came down. And so we have prayed together. That question, how are people even surviving without the mind of Christ, without a relationship with God? They're not. They're perishing. They're perishing in many ways, you know, physically perishing, but also, you know, emotionally, mentally perishing. And so And we too. We would, without the mind of Christ, I think it'd be a different story here in our own home. I have two kids. They're constantly barging in. I'm surprised nobody's barged in on this conference call yet. And, you know, I praise God because, you know, you didn't know me years and years ago, but I'm stubborn. I was stubborn. I have this raging temper. And I have also been known to have a very good pity party by myself a time or two. And I just praise God, knowing that it's Christ in me that is compassionate, that's gentle with the kids, that has self-control and isn't eating every single cookie in the house. And it is the mind of Christ. I am so grateful that he's been... And that he's been responding to my kids, so that when they're saying, "Hey, mom, I need this," or "Hey, mom," I know it's not me, because my human nature would be like, "What? What do you want? I'm working here," or whatever. But but what comes up surprises me as it's coming up. It's a gentle yes. And it's so cheerful and gentle, I barely even can recognize myself. And it's not me, it's Jesus, so I praise him for that. Mm-hmm. And so, how about you? How has God transformed you, even in these recent days?
For me, God reminded to me that we are creatures who are created to be free.
Amen.
And free, what I mean free, even though I see all these orders and restrictions, you know, it reminds me our experience living in communistic society. Because when we lived under communism, we were so fearful. The government basically kept us since childhood, being fearful, being afraid of government authority. Yeah. And if you go in cities somewhere, the policemen can stop you from whatever reason, you know. They can ask who you are, do you have your passport or documents, you know. So, you know, we were not believers, and we were extremely fearful and oppressed by government restrictions and oppression and, you know, whatever they wanted to do with us. Even staying, going to a store to buy groceries, you have to stay in line hours to get the bread or whatever you need. And I see that, you know, Christ reminds me, he says, I'm in you and you have freedom. When I'm in you, you have freedom. You know, you may live right now under this restrictions, but you are free. You are free in Christ. So, I need him as never before to remind me every day that I'm free in Christ. And Amen. Only Christ gives me this inner freedom, no matter what happens.
Amen.
Where is Christ, there is the freedom and love. That's sure. I really learned that, and learning, and still learning.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to mention something. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was raised in a family where my father was an alcoholic. My mother was primarily at home. And we were raised in a Catholic environment. So we never really, and we also were raised in a time where we couldn't say anything. We couldn't speak up and have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking about the mothers and also, you know, the abuse of not in the school system or whatever. My mother was one that never complained. I never heard in my life my mother complain once.
Mm.
And my mother spent hours on her knees.
Amen.
Praying. And she was actually a Christian. I have a Jewish background off. And what I understood in my life was, and there were seven of us, and we didn't have money. We worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we tolerated forms of abuse and dysfunction. But what I can honestly say is that it created a deep compassion and no judgment with people.
Mm.
And yeah. I'm thinking about these people that were severely hurt because of the people that actually crucified them in their lives. I pray for those people right now.
Mm.
Because those souls rest upon us. They really do. If we truly love like Jesus, not because of guilt and shame and whatever, no, but because of the heart of Jesus.
Amen.
And so I keep their cases before the altar in heaven, all of those, in any one of our lives, in this world, that simply put up with other people's demonic energies and not even knowing themselves that they're not free.
Mm-hmm.
When they speak freedom, people don't know who they are.
No.
But we know. See, we don't know who we are. Our identity is with Christ, but that doesn't excuse us.
Amen.
From any fault or difficulty or any form of anything that's ever come out of our mouth or that's been lived through our lives. But what it produced in me personally, my dad, you know, he was a father that, I mean, you know, we just simply obeyed, period. No option.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in that, I learned a discipline that I would have never had I not been an obedient child. And I was an obedient child.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first to come into the message of the truth in my entire family.
Praise
and
God.
And I think it's that the obedience of Christ was instilled in me, and I sought truth out like nothing else as a child, as that little child not knowing anything. But because we had a faith and my mother was on her knees in a very dysfunctional setting, somehow God heard my mom and dad's prayers.
Amen.
To allow me to have something that attached to him despite our dysfunction and what we're still going through.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I imagine these verses have a very special meaning for you.
Well, they
in
do,
terms
but
of,
what I'm doing is the impact that it has on other people. So what about me? I do care about me. I care that I represent him. But I make no excuse when I look and investigate my heart, because my heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not my old fool to myself when I know something true. It's the action behind what we know that must come through if we are changed in his likeness.
Mm. Amen.
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 Thank you, Simon.
Yes.
Yep. And the only thing I can think of is the Lord's Prayer. And we can say it together because that's a praise. Our Father, who
art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yes.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and
ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. And that is the call that as believers, as professed believers, what do others experience with us? Do they experience the compassion? Do they experience the obedience to the Father's will? And again, the good news, I'm going to skip ahead to Matthew chapter 10. The good news in 10 verse 3 is the sending out of the 12 apostles. And one of those is Matthew, the tax gatherer, by name and by profession. And so he sends Matthew out, and it's not because Matthew all of a sudden is worthy of being translated, but in verse 10:20, it says, "For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." And so God in his wisdom is calling all of us to be the instruments through which he vindicates his good and righteous and holy name in this whole universe.
Amen.
And he is our upstander through us.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as you had just shared, it's the Father working in us to show that compassion. And as we're obedient to his will, putting on the mind of Christ every day, that that we get to have a part in God's plan to restore the entire universe, which is not far away with the times that we're in.
Amen.
So just in summary, Christ is an upstander for us, going to the cross for us, and offering so much to us in his death. He's an upstander in us. His righteousness in us is what overcomes our sinful nature and transforms us, takes away those unholy habits. And lastly, it's Christ, an upstander through us, to bring about the vindication of his holy name, and to one day we'll all be in that earth made new. So if you've heard some good news today,
amen.
Just praise God for that. It's not me, it's him, and it's his word.
And then what did he tell Matthew in the very beginning in chapter 9, what he's telling us right now?
Yes.
He says to each one of us, he says, what do you say?
What does he say, folks? I have my Bible too. I've done enough talking.
He says, follow me, come after me, keep track of me, aim at me, learn of me. He's not telling us we have to be perfectly perfect. He just says, just follow, like a child follows their father and mother. Like Sunny learned from her father something that in one person's mind would have been, they would have rebelled and ran out of the house, but she decided to learn, to be a learner. Mm-hmm. And Jesus just tells us, now that we've heard this message, just follow me. Just be compassionate like me. Be loving like me. Just be like me.
Amen.
Beautiful message.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's just close out this portion with a word of prayer. And if those on the call, if there's anyone here who desires to follow and to be transformed and to be used by, be sent forward by God, just bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have come into our midst. You have stood up for us and been our hero at the cross, offering us justification because our sin fell upon you. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your compassionate, loving, holy nature. And we desire to follow you. And we give you permission to put your mind in us so that we can think your thoughts, so we can be transformed from the inside out. And so we can be sent forth following you, enjoying you, and demonstrating how good you are. It's you demonstrating, not us, but letting the world know how good you are.
Amen.
So that you may come soon. And we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and for each person on this call, let them receive you with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. All right, I'm sorry that was too long.
No, it was so good.
It's too perfect.
Good.